Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Dan Lynch, episode 135 for September 15th, 2010, Webcam Studio. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to floss.hover.com. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show every week about free, libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you the biggers, the biggers, the big movers, the shakers, the big people, the little people, not very small people, but just people, I guess. That's probably the best way to say that. And I am totally tongue-tied this morning. I totally apologize. But hopefully not as tongue-tied as me is my co-host, Dan Lynch. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, pleasure to be here. I like to think of myself as a mover and a shaker.
Well, we'll have to see on the dance floor someday to see if that's actually true. Yeah, yeah. We have a really, really interesting show lined up again today, as I always now am saying, because I do have a lot of really interesting shows for this program. It's Patrick Ballou, and he's been working for a number of years on a project called Webcam Studio. And now I don't. It runs only on Linux, from what I understand, and so I can't run it on my laptop. But I have seen a lot of videos on it, and it looks like it's pulling together multiple video sources, maybe even seeing the desktop and seeing movies and stuff to be able to pull together to be able to do live streaming. Do you have some familiarity with that, Dan? I forget.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I actually installed Webcam Studio this week to have a quick play with it. I haven't had much time, but yeah, I think it's a really interesting field. Basically, yeah, it's allowing you to show people your desktop, mix that with, say, YouTube video and a bit of live video from a webcam and all that kind of stuff. So all the vision mixing stuff that you would need for to produce a good kind of web TV show, I hope. So it's interesting from a Linux Outlaws point of view, because we do video each time we do our show. So if we could mix in, preloaded videos and stuff, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I use something similar to that on the Mac called CamTwist, and I've used that a bunch. I do live streaming on my karaoke from time to time and other programs. Like just last week, I've live streamed the Portland Pearl users group meeting and got that recorded through Ustream. So I presume this is something similar to that, but we'll have to ask him about that. But before we do that, I have something to tell you. I have a great announcement to tell you. I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Hover, Hover.com. Hover is all about making domain registration and service very simple. Over the years, domain registration sites have become more and more complicated. You go to a site to register a domain, and it's like 50 clicks just to get down to the point where you say, yes, I absolutely want this domain. And then these sites barrage you with like pages and pages of offers of things you really don't want. I just want the freaking domain name. Come on. With all these other offers, all these other things you really don't need. And so that's why Leo Laporte and the TWiT Network is starting to use Hover.com for all their domain registrations. Hover doesn't sell a ton of services. They're just about focusing on domain name, domain registration. Hover, you might have recalled, was previously called Domain Direct. I think I remember them back from those days. And they've sold domains since 1997, so they've been around for a while, 13 years, so they know what they're doing. They have a complete help resource area on their website. It's packed with how-tos, packed with videos. And you can go there to learn about managing, about forwarding, and even about transferring your domain if you want to bring it from somebody else over to Hover.com. You can find that information there. And they also have a new no-hold policy for customer service. If you're calling Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, when you call, you absolutely guarantee to get a live person. They will not put you on hold. Very good for support like that. So Hover is simple domain name registration. Check them out today. If you go to floss.hover.com, you'll discover that when you have a domain to register, you can use the offer code in the offer code box Floss, and you get 10% off on your next domain. So let's go ahead and bring our guest on. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, hi, Randall. How are you?
Hi. Good to chat with you. Where are we speaking to you from?
Actually, I'm right now in Quebec City at my office, connected to my iPhone to be able to talk to you because there are some restrictions locally. And the weather is quite good here. We have a lot of sun, and after several days of rain and cold weather.
Cool. Well, I briefly covered Webcam Studio in the opening of the show, but why don't you go ahead and give us sort of the 30-second introduction, that we can work from there.
Webcam Studio is actually a simple idea that 2 years ago I wanted to broadcast over the internet, my desktop, my Ubuntu desktop, and nothing was available. So I decided to create something that would broadcast my desktop, and eventually I added the webcam, and then I added the ability to put several webcams in there, and then text and videos and so on, IRC channel. And the end goal of Webcam Studio is to be able to take several sources together, mix them together, and create your own TV studio with your laptop or your desktop computer.
So this includes does this include mostly for live streaming, or is it also for editing down if you want to make like a mix for uploading?
The main target is for live streaming and not for editing or recording actually. So Webcam Studio is able to record locally in several formats, but the main goal is to broadcast. So it's a virtual webcam that works over the with Flash, that works with some softwares like Cheese and some recording software. And lately, I'm currently working with the latest version 0.57 that is bringing Skype compatibility.
Cool. So I could set this up, for example, and I'm on a Mac and I use CamTwist. I don't know if you're familiar with CamTwist, but I do something similar to that where I can take like the built-in EyeSight camera on my Mac, and I can also use the Logitech webcam, the one we use here for this particular podcast, and I can mix those together and even mix in my desktop. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So you can have several. I'm always talking about sources. Sources can be any webcam. It can be an animation, can be images, can be videos. You put that together in several layers, and you just put your out together, and then you start broadcasting, and even IRC channel is supported. So often a lot of people were asking, okay, I'm doing a broadcast over the internet, I have a chat room, but then I do the recording, but on the recording nobody sees what we were talking about in the chat room. So now we're able to embed that into Webcam Studio.
So this is a great way then, for example, if you wanted to do like a video podcast, I think it sounds like what you were trying to do in the first place, or video demonstration sometime. It sounds like a great way to bring all these things together then and give them to you for a stream then.
Yeah, exactly. And as for the desktop source, what I call the desktop source is actually the screen capture of the desktop. Then you can select the full screen or simply a part of it, and it will follow your mouse around. Or you can have also two desktop sources. So one being the full screen where you don't really see anything in 320 by 240, but you have a general idea of what you're doing. And then a kind of magnifier glass at the top corner showing really a zoomed view of around your mouse of what you're doing. That's one of the things we're able to do with Webcam Studio.
Patrick, something I'm curious about is I had a look through your website and I noticed that you've got Debian packages, so Ubuntu packages on there. As a Linux user myself, I'm curious how easy is it to install this, and what are the kind of requirements for using this on my Ubuntu laptop or something?
For the Debian package, it's a matter of double-clicking on the package, and everything is going to be installed by itself. So you don't have to compile anything. You don't have to modify some configuration on your Ubuntu setup. So the package is kind of doing everything by itself. And the worst case you may have to do in your setup is add your user to the video group. But lately, with the latest release of Ubuntu, that doesn't seem to be necessary anymore. As for other releases, distributions of Linux, there's an archive available since it's a Java software. Everything is built in Java, and the only thing that is required to be compiled is the webcam driver. Actually, it's based on the VLoopback project that is part of the Motion project, where they're creating a V4L device, a virtual webcam. And actually, Webcam Studio is simply feeding that device, so Flash is able to see that virtual device and then use it as a regular webcam.
Mm-hmm. So are there any packages available for other distributions at the moment, or is it just the source?
Right now, the binary package is available at sourceforge.net or through the main website, wsforgl.org. And so we have the binaries available there as a Debian package and as a TarGZ archive also for the other distributions. The source code is simply available at sourceforge.net in the repositories of Subversion.
Cool. And it's all Java, so presumably as long as I've got my Java runtime, I can run this.
Yeah, exactly. So if there are any dependencies, then the package is taking care of all the dependencies. And I've tested the next release of Ubuntu 10.10, and I just had to put the package there, double-click. All the dependencies are taken by the apt-get, I'm going to say it. My French is trying to get out from time to time. I'm French-Canadian, so... So the Synaptic packaging system is actually taking care of putting everything in place, and then a few minutes later, you have Webcam Studio working on your setup.
Cool. And it's not actually in the Ubuntu repos, the main ones that I could find. Anyway, I did a quick search before. So has it been in there in the past, and is that a goal for the future to maybe get it into the main universe of repository?
That's one of my goal, actually, to be in the official repositories, one of them, actually. I know that right now Webcam Studio is available through the repositories of GitDeb. If you go on www.getdeb.net, I think, or .com, I think it's .net. One of the users had created a repository for Webcam Studio. I know that officially Webcam Studio is now part of Arch Linux. And I think Slackware. Some users have taken care of putting an official package, but for Ubuntu, we're...
Oh, losing the audio.
We lost Patrick.
Yeah. No, I'm here.
Okay.
He's still there. Hello. I thought we'd lost you. I was a little worried. Yeah, that's great. So it's actually in a few other distributions anyway then. So Slackware have picked it up, you mentioned, and Arch, I think that's quite interesting because
Arch,
you know, they're not exactly
Linux,
mainstream distributions.
For sure, Arch Linux. Yeah, they did something with Webcam Studio. Probably Ubuntu is lagging because the package is already available from the main website. So there's no rush as to put in the official repositories because it's already available as a binary format.
Ah, cool. Ah, okay. So do you know what kind of things you need to do to get this into the Ubuntu repositories? I'm just wondering what the kind of the hurdles are that you have to get over to get this into the wider repository.
I know that I need to be part of the PPA website where you have all the projects for Webcam Studio. The problem is there's only 24 hours in a day. I have 5 kids, so I have to spend some time there. I have to work, and I need to work on the development of Webcam Studio. And the team of Webcam Studio is actually me as the coder, and we have Matt Hartley, who has joined me a few to put things together. The team is actually 2, and all the users that are sending their comments, their ideas, we should do this, and this would be really cool if we could do that. So I'm kind of working on this from time to time, having fun actually with that project. And once everything is going to be set up as, okay, that should be the 1.0 version, then I'm going to open the for other developers and trying to go even further with Webcam Studio. Right now, it's kind of my own little baby, and I'm having fun with it, and I know that people are enjoying it. I'm kind of really, really proud of that project. That's my 4th one, actually, and quite happy with the results.
Very cool. What's the interface look like when you're using this? I saw some of the demo videos, but so I'm sitting here in front of my machine. What am I seeing when I'm seeing Webcam Studio? What am I interacting with?
Actually, when Webcam Studio is starting up, you'll end up with some controls being, you have your sources listed at the left in the latest release, because I've changed the QE quite often in the last year. Kind of, oh, no, that's not good. So let's start from scratch, and we'll put it a different way. And then you'll have a list of your currently loaded source. And then you need to start them, stop them, and you have different tabs where you can select the size, the position of your source, the opacity, put some special effects if you want to do a mirror effect or whatever. There's tons of them actually already available. And you just configure that together. Once everything is set up, you save that as a studio file, so you won't have to reconfigure everything each time you want to do your broadcast. You simply load your studio file. Everything's going to be in the same place, right, and ready to work. And one thing I'm currently working on in the 0.57 version is having a layout features where you can say, okay, this is the layout number one, this is the layout number two, and so on. Okay, this is for when I'm doing the introduction of the show. So it's going to be my goal is actually to provide users with a real TV studio in their computer where they don't need any hardware around to create their stuff. It's not going to be professional quality, but it's going to work, and I think people are liking it because it's easy to use.
Now, so if I might see, for example, someplace that says, so here's my webcam and maybe here's my desktop, and there's some sort of interface then that can say dissolve from one to the other then?
Yeah. Actually, right now, if I start, we can try something. I can share you my desktop. You're going to see the interface. It's currently loaded on my desktop.
Except that I won't be able to see it because we're using Skype audio.
Oh, you're in Skype audio, so okay, sorry, because I could have started. Anyway, there's a lot of screen capture on the website.
Yes.
If you want to see the interface, I think if you go in screenshots in www.ws4gl.org/screenshots, you have screenshots available there of the evolution of the interface. And you're going to see that from one version to the other, I'm kind of throwing down everything and starting up again, and putting stuff as, okay, how can I put things so it's going to be easy to work with? And also, one thing I have to think about is we're talking about live video mixing, so it's requiring a lot of CPU processing power. So I cannot put everything I want to do in there. I need to think about the usage of the CPU so people won't kill their laptop or kill their desktop while broadcasting.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I know that when I'm doing Ustream live streaming, I know that even though I have a pretty proficient laptop here, a pretty high-end current laptop, it still seems to be burning a lot of CPU. It actually heats up my machine, and my fans start kicking in and everything. So when you start getting multiple video streams, what kind of horsepower do you need to actually do that?
Currently, what I've found out is you need at least a computer with a 2 gigahertz in speed of this of the processor, and one or two gigs of memory. So that should be enough for doing most basic stuff. Of course, more you have, it's going to be better because you're going to be able to do more and more stuff. The thing is, the flash player on Ustream or any other site is actually requiring a lot of processing power to do the capture and do the broadcast of the video. So you have to think about that. When I'm broadcasting to GSTV, which actually is only requiring a shoutcast stream, so I don't have to have flash on my laptop to make it work. So I'm simply using Webcam Studio, broadcasting directly to their server. The usage of the CPU is really minimum. Normally, I'm in my laptop, it's 2.2 gigahertz. I'm going to stand around 800 megahertz to 1.6 megahertz. So it's kind of keeping it. Sorry, my French is getting out again.
Well, your English is much better than my French, so go ahead.
The only thing that is actually killing a computer in Webcam Studio is face detection, head tracking, if you want.
And what do you use that
because
for?
Because it's a bit, actually for fun. There's no other usage than just putting a face or a hat on your head and giant, like, look at me, I'm having a strange hat on my head. And there's really no use of using head tracking. It's just kind of a toy to play with and do silly stuff.
So Webcam Studio has the ability to put like some sort of attachment on my head and have it follow along as I move around?
Yeah. Yes, it's not perfect. It's based on the Visage project. It's the French name for face, actually. But I found that in SourceForge, that project, I think, was abandoned like 1 or 2 years ago. So I integrated the source code in Webcam Studio. I'm trying to tweak it out, but I'm working with a lot of technologies in Webcam Studio. So I'm talking about broadcasting, doing some capture, having a driver at the low level. So I'm trying to do everything. So often I'm kind of, darn, I don't know how to do that. I know that the library is working, but I don't know how to fix it. So I need to work with developers. And one of the latest thing I did with Webcam Studio was to be compatible with a software on the iPhone that is called iWeb Camera, transforming your iPhone as a Wi-Fi webcam that you can use. So the version 0.56 is currently working. You start that software on your iPhone through Wi-Fi, and then it's going to pop up in your Webcam Studio as, you have another webcam showing up.
Wow. Now, how portable is this? I'm on OS 10, and I'm wondering, you wrote this in Java. Is the Java portable? Can I actually run this in OS 10 or maybe on Windows, or is it strictly Linux?
I would say it's strictly Linux. That's why it's called Webcam Studio for GNU Linux. Technically, it would work on other platform. The problem is the libraries. I'm relying a lot on the GStreamer framework. So I tried it on Windows. I was able to load webcam, play some videos. I was able to do a lot of stuff, but I wasn't able to create the virtual webcam. So there are some more development to be. This is the face tracking I was talking earlier. You're currently showing. It would work, but it would require a lot of work. So since Windows people and Mac people already have Webcam Macs and other software like that, and Linux, we don't have any tool to do it. So I'm kind of putting my effort only on Linux for now. Maybe eventually, if someone's want to join and do a porting, that would be great.
Well, I know there's using Mac ports or Mac, whatever it's called, Darwin ports, Mac ports, I can install GStreamer. So that would that solve a lot of the problem? Is that what you're really missing?
That would solve the input as if GStreamer is working, because currently webcams are loaded with GStreamer. Mm-hmm. As for the output, the virtual part of creating a virtual device on Macs, actually, I don't know how I would do that. So all I need is a file where I can send the data, and it's going to be taken care of by that device. I don't know how to do that in Macs, but maybe one day someone will join and say, okay, I want to do that part. Great.
Well, maybe somebody listening to this show will actually say, oh, well, I know exactly how to do that. I've done that kind of software before. I'll just write them and send them a note and say how to do it.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen as a result of this. That'll be really cool.
I'm on the verge, actually, to write to people and ask them, okay, is there someone on Macs or Windows that knows about that technology or how to do this and join the project? So we're going to work on this. And on Linux also, there are some stuff I'm trying to do. I'm not able to do it by myself. So the project is 2 years old. So I'm almost ready to say, okay, let's get some external resources that can help in. The main idea is there. The main structure is there. Everything is ready to have more people in the project. So it's a matter of time, actually, and my time also, because as I said, I'm pretty busy outside Webcam Studio also.
Now, why Java?
Why Java? Because I'm lazy. Java is the first language I learned. I'm really good at it. Actually, I'm really, really good. So And I know how to code in C++ and Python, and just like, okay, I know a little bit my way around. But my goal is not to make it as the more efficient as possible, but to make it work. And as fast as possible, meaning having the more feature, the faster we can put it in Webcam Studio. Because if I had did that in a C++, probably right now I would have only the webcam and maybe some text as things that I would be able to broadcast.
So you perceive, for your personal development speed, Java to be faster to develop than C++?
Yeah, because that's the thing I know. Someone who knows about C++.
Much faster to write and code the language that you know. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm working with the tools I have, so that's how I do it. A lot of people have said, do that in C++. I'm not good enough, and I don't have time to start learning and learning. I'm not a developer anymore, professionally I talk, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. So I'm kind of toying with all the ideas and concepts. And if someone wants to take over and do a fork and say, okay, I'm going to do one native that's going to be done in C++, great, I'm going to be there to help them. I'm kind of playing around with that. The only thing that saddens me is after 2 years, I'm still the only one doing that.
Do you have a user community that has contributed back any patches or anything?
No, besides some users who have helped me with some minor patch, but officially right now, the community is more around regular users trying to broadcast over the internet. So, I had one guy in Brazil, I just don't remember his name, sorry. Eventually, I'm going to find it out. But he did all my graphics and icons. So now Webcam Studio has a better look than it had before when I tried to do something. I'm not quite an artist myself, so I need to rely on somebody else.
So are you looking for other people to get involved? You mentioned looking for people maybe on the Windows and the Mac side. So you're the main developer now. Would you like to expand it to a team of developers or something, so you can, get some of that busy life outside of Webcam Studio, as you say, get some more time for that as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's something I want to prepare for 2011, where I want to have eventually three teams, one for each platform. And if Java is not the perfect solution, then okay, let's start it from scratch. But the concept is there. So we know how to do it. The source code is available. So that's the next major step, I would say. I'm kind of toying with it and adding new features. But in long term, the next step would be having multiple teams, one for each platform probably, and having an efficient source code built in C++ or whatever is going to be the language at that time, and start working on a real, almost professional solution. Right now, it's a toy. It's working well. Mm. People are having fun with it. But there's another step after that to do a major project with that.
Yeah, that's something I was curious about. I was going to ask you: Do you consider it like a toy or an actual, something that people could use to produce, I don't know, a web TV show or something at the moment? Is that the goal that you'd like to head towards, to make something that you can produce, like something like the Twit Network that we're on now right now? Produce something like that with? Is that a goal? Maybe down the line somewhere.
The first step would be to be a really cool toy, meaning that anybody can broadcast on the internet and be able to do some effects and put things together without having professional knowledge about the hardware or whatever. So that the first thing I want to do, and it's almost there actually. People are using it and having fun with it, and that's great. The next step would be, okay, let's try to go a little further and have some really good quality in there, like widescreen support or IDF quality and stuff like that. We're not there because there's still a lot of stuff to do, But anyway, it's already working. People are already working with it and providing me a lot of inputs on the website. People in the forums are writing like, oh, you should do this. I'm not trying to do that. It's not really working really well because I need to click like four times before being able to do that simple thing. And so we're kind of gathering stuff together and documentation. There's no documentation, really. There's the website providing a lot of hints, but we're lacking documentations.
So, I mean, what would I need to get involved in the project? You mentioned having three teams, which seems like a really interesting idea. So I'm a guy at home who's interested in programming or video and stuff like that. So what would I need to get involved? You know, what kind of things do you need?
The first thing we need to do, I think, is people have just have to write to me to my email. That's patrick.bellew@gmail.com. On the main website, it's available there. And I need someone who has also more time maybe than me to coordinate everything. I'm kind of a starter in ideas. And just to give you an example, another project I did several years ago is NW-E0X MP3 Manager. What a strange name for a project. But anyway, it was built for my Sony MP3 player, which needed a Sonic Stage software to be able to put my MP3s on my MP3 player from Sony. Problem is, it wasn't working in Macs nor Linux. So I was kind of stuck with that. It works really great, but I cannot put my MP3s in it. I needed like an iTunes-like software to be able to do that, and the software from Sony was actually crappy. So I decided myself to start a project, and I found out how to do it and doing some reverse engineering, and I was able to create something that was working. Great, I was really happy with that. Problem is, at one point we said, I had some guys with me, Nicola Cardoso, if I remember his name well. I said, okay, that's cool. It's working, but it's crap. So what I would suggest is start another project from scratch and think about it like, okay, it's going to be a real product for the community, because that one was working on all three platforms. And last year I saw that that new project is called JSANphonic. And right now it's available in the repositories of Ubuntu. I've looked at that. I'm not part of the project anymore because I worked on several other things. But the project continued by itself, and there are people working on it. And that's the same thing I want to do with Webcam Studio. I want to put it at some point that we need that software. So let's gather together and let's go forward and maybe kill Webcam Studio and change that for TV Studio Professional Edition, whatever it's going to be the name.
Yeah, now that brings up licensing and stuff like that. What license is Webcam Studio under at the moment?
Webcam Studio is under GPL V3. There's a lot of component also in there. I'm trying to make sure that everything is at least GPL V2. Sometimes I am talking with some guys like, am I okay if I use that? Because I'm not a lawyer, actually. So I just want to make it work. So everything is GPL. I have a few LGPL in there. So that's not a problem. That's not an issue with those. But in the end, it's GPL V3. So I want to make sure that nothing's going to be lost if ever I stop working on it and somebody else takes over.
You know, it sounds like you're someone who has a problem in your life, and you go, well, I have some idea of making the software to make that happen, and then just to let anything stop you from doing that.
Exactly. It's kind of, oh, there's nothing available for that? Okay, let's try to do it then. At base, I'm a developer. That's what I learned in school. Over the time, professionally, I stopped being the developer. I'm now working more as a business analyst. But if I know how to do it, or at least if I have a hint how to do it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to share it on the internet. I'm using Ubuntu on my desktop, on my laptops, and that's my way of providing to the community with something that I can do. And if people find that useful, then all right, it's going to be fun. And actually, I'm having a lot of fun with Webcam Studio. It's really, actually, when I started that, it was Bash script. It wasn't even in Java. The first release, you can find it on the website in the news somewhere. I put the script there. It was based on FFmpeg and with some really weird tools where I could do something broadcasting on over a virtual webcam. So that was pretty cool, but not really easy to work with. And then the Java came over and started building over that. But I kind of lost my idea where I was going at. I hate when it does that. Anyway, I kind of put things together and, okay, that's how I can do it. And I found a way to do it. And here's the world can take. And my, oh, I know, I remember. When I started Webcam Studio, in my mind, I thought, oh, there's going to be like maximum 100 user, like having fun with it. Okay. And lately I checked, I think I'm reaching 4,000 downloads a month on SourceForge.net alone. And that's only for SourceForge.net. I don't know. I know it's available somewhere else. But from what I can measure, there's almost 4,000 downloads a month.
Incredible. And so do you find yourself tinkering with other things too? I mean, like if you don't like the way maybe Firefox shows stuff on the screen, do you find yourself going into the source code there and tinkering with that?
Sometimes I'm going to report bugs. I'm going to maybe share some ideas. But no, I'm not involving a lot in what is actually existing. Like it's working for me. I'm quite happy with it. And that's okay for me. It always starts with a crazy idea. Like it's late. I'm drinking my diet Pepsi and I want to do that. Oh, darn, I can't. Okay. Then let's find a solution. Like, my other project that is not really active is called, it's called Japel Server, which is a small Java server, which is able, based on the GStreamer framework, to take any videos in your library and to broadcast that to live to your iPhone, so you can watch your movie from your PCs, whatever the format, because Jabble is actually taking care of the transcoding live and broadcasting the sound and videos through a web interface. So it's a crazy idea. It's not really efficient, but it works, and for my purpose, that's enough. But the code, the source code is available on sourceforge.net.
Sounds like something I might even be able to use. That's great. What was the most difficult problem you say you faced so far in building Webcam Studio?
The most difficult part was to make the driver, the VLOOKBACK driver, working on all platforms, or all this, all distributions. There was a lot of things happening. People were compiling their own version of the kernel. They couldn't compile VLOOKBACK or the Webcam Studio fork of VLOOKBACK. That was the hardest part. Webcam Studio is loading up. I see my webcam, but I'm not able to broadcast. Why? What's the error message? So can you help me a bit? So that was the hardest part. I think we've reached a point that I'm going to touch wood, as we say here. And it's been a year that everything seems stable, but I like trouble for sure. Next release, 0.57, I'm kind of replacing the VLOOKBACK driver with a new version, which is called the V2L2 loopback device, something like that. That's a project that's been dead for like 2 years ago. And I took the source code, renamed that as Webcam Studio Virtual Device Driver based on that project, and making it work so that V4L2 device and not V4L device is now more cool software like Skype.
Ah, very cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. What, how much of, when it's actually up and running, how much of it is stuff that you wrote? How much of it is stuff that you got from other people and libraries and stuff? Can you estimate that?
I haven't checked, but probably around 50% is Webcam Studio stuff original, and 50% is probably other source code or libraries. If you don't count the GStreamer, the native GStreamer framework that I'm currently using, because GStreamer is quite huge. And I've counted, like last week, I think, how many lines of source code that I've written in 2 years, what is currently available, and I'm like around 300,000 lines of source code.
300,000 lines of code?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I've checked, yeah. Okay, there's comments in there, but I don't write a lot of comments. But only my branch of webcams, what I do, like, man, that's a book of 600 pages.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm amazed.
And I have a life?
I can see why you want other people to help you, but nobody will be that productive as you are.
Yeah.
Or I was just going to say, I can see a few people hearing that and going, whoa, I was going to get involved, but I don't know if I'm up to that 300,000 lines.
So you're
there's
looking for
a lot
other
of lines, but everything is based on the object model, like Java is good at. So it's quite easy to get around the source code and figure out, oh, okay, it's working like this. There's kind of the sources, the components, the GUI, and the effects. And the studio file, and that's it. But there are a lot of sources. There are a lot of GUI stuff, and so. But as an architecture, it's kind of easy to get around the source code and figure out. Okay, it's working like that and like that. So everything is kind of easy to follow, and there's no like mystery source code in there. Like I really don't get it. Why he's doing that? I'm trying to make things simple, easy to work with. And when I'm doing really strange stuff because I need it to be efficient and it's going to be fast, I put some comments. That's something I really have a hard time to do, but sometimes I kind of take time to put a comment saying, okay, it's like that because it's hard to do.
Is the source code in French at all, or is it pretty much English?
Everything is in English. I work mostly in English. All my projects, so I know that most people speaks English wherever you go in the world. So why do stuff in French?
Well,
but I can talk to you in French if you want to.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So, what kind of people are you looking for mostly right now? I mean, if you had like one additional person come on board, what skill would be most help what you're doing right now?
A project manager, I would say, or an architect. Mm. Someone who has knowledge of low-level stuff, but like how to do stuff in C++, whatever the project. Mm-hmm. And having that architect or that project manager, then that's the starting point where we can say, okay, let's start with that, what we want to do, and what do we need, and who do we need. And then after that, there's going to be coders and testers and whatever we need after that.
Cool. Well,
as
know,
I said,
it sounds like a fascinating
as I said,
project.
I'm a starter.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. As I said, I'm a starter. I kind of put projects on the table and then, okay, here's what I thought. Is someone there who wants to take charge of that, and I'm going to throw you my ideas. But I'm not really good at, how can I say that, putting a lot of people in technologies that I don't fully understand. I'm more of a high-level guy. That's why I'm a business analyst right now. Kind of. I know that this is working. I just don't know how it's working. I just know it's working. I can rely on that. And that's all I want to know for now. So I'm doing almost the same thing on my projects.
Mm. Yeah, now I have a quick question for you, Patrick. It's just come in via Identica. Someone's just sent me this. People are asking me, obviously this works with Flash because you know, you've got Ustream and all that kind of stuff. Do you know if it works with Gnash or any of the free software Flash equivalents, if you like?
I never tried it, actually. Gnash and other implementation of this, the Flash framework, they have first for them to support the video capture from a virtual device. So it's more of a flash issue than a webcam studio issue. I'm kind of providing a virtual webcam. So what happens after the webcam, if the software supports it, then it's going to work. So if Gnash is supporting the video capture from a regular webcam, then it's going to work with Webcam Studio also.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Hey, thank you for taking the time to come describe the project with us today. Is there any last things you want our audience to know?
Keep a look for the next release because it's going to be a rocky road. I'm kind of changing a lot of things, so I'm sorry. It's going to be a rocky road, but that's where I want to go. But we're going to have fun together. Keep looking for next releases and keep providing ideas. That's where I get my stupid ideas from time to time. Like someone says to me something, and oh darn, we could do that. So that's the thing I need.
Very good, very good. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you for coming on today's show, and I look forward to hearing experiences from our audience of using Webcam Studio for maybe things you hadn't even intended to be for, and that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you for being on today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot, Randall and John. Bye.
Randall and Dan, but that's okay. John's the other guy.
What did I say?
So good.
Yeah, I said Randall and John.
John, yeah. John's the hidden twit guy that we don't talk about. But yeah, that's okay. That's great.
Just say goodbye to all of us. It all works out. That was Patrick Ballou live with us via Skype audio. The irony of that, of course, being that here we are talking about Webcam Studio, which is his project to be able to put video out. And we couldn't get a strong enough video signal from him to actually put him on video for those of you who are watching the video feed. It's sort of ironic.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I suppose to be fair, though, it wasn't actually Webcam Studio's fault. I think he was telling us that in his office there where he works, they decided to block Skype this morning. So he was connecting via his mobile phone, and unfortunately bandwidth on the mobile connection wasn't so great. So I don't know. I don't think we can blame Webcam Studio for that. But
No, definitely not. It would have been nice to see some of the video effects as well. But you can go to his website. We'll have a website in the show notes of where to go and look for lots of demonstration videos. He's got demonstration videos up on YouTube and all sorts of things. So I definitely was thrilled by the kinds of things it looked like it could do and the interviews that I saw with him. And also, I want to point out, too, that we talked about this earlier. There's a big problem in open source projects of finding people to contribute when your typical audience aren't really programmers. So like things like Webcam Studio and other end user sort of applications, it's hard to find that kind of feedback. And obviously, this is a project that suffers the same way. So if you're even slightly motivated to help him out with Webcam Studio and you are a programmer and not just a user, I'd strongly encourage you to do that. That's a problem in a lot of projects, huh, Dan?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, with those 300,000 lines of code, I'm sure that you could use some help to get some more stuff in there. Yeah, it'd be really good if people could get involved. And I was intrigued by his ideas of having three different teams for different platforms. It sounds like he's got a big plan there, looking, you know, the big picture, if you like, going forward. Very cool.
It may also be, though, that having that kind of a big plan blocks you from implementing just like the first next step. I know that sometimes when I have grand schemes about things, I go, well, I can't get any of this started until I get all of it started, and then it sort of blocks me a bit. But you never know.
Well, the longest journey starts with the smallest step, as Chairman Mao said.
Sure, sure. Well, let's take a quick look. I'm going to do as I normally do this time of the show. Obviously, this is not scripted. I keep trying to prove this every week. So I do actually go through the list of the upcoming guests. So let me run those down real quickly for you. We have next week, we have Karsten Dominik talking about Emacs org mode, which is all sorts of ways of maintaining and updating information directly inside Emacs. And I'm an Emacs user, and I bet he doesn't use VI. I'm pretty sure he doesn't use VI. So that'll be an easy test. We've got Alexander Limi coming to us talking about the Plone framework. That's going to be really cool. And I think you're back for that, too, again, right, Dan? You're back for that show?
Yep, I'm back for that. Yep, I'll be around.
Very cool. Very cool, right? Ross Boucher is going to talk to us about Cappuccino, which is a web framework that uses Objective-J, which is like Objective-C, but runs in JavaScript in the browser to do some very cool things on browser or browser side for big, heavy-duty web frameworks. John Newton and Luis Sala are talking to us about Alfresco, which is a content management system. Darren Schreiber will be coming to talk to us about the 2600 Hertz project, which is telephony end-to-end, which should be a lot of fun as well. So a lot of other people on the shortlist, twit.tv/floss. There's a spreadsheet link from there to find out who we're actually talking to and trying to get dates slotted in. We've got a bunch of people who've already asked to be on the show that I'm trying to get in the show. If you see somebody further down the list, though, and you want them to be up near the top of the list where we're actually slotting them in, have the project lead email me. That's the way to get all this to happen. Everybody in that first third of the section there on the spreadsheet are people who have emailed me to be asked to be on the show. So that's how you get on the shortlist. And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Merlyn, M-E-R-L-Y-N. And where can we find you, Dan?
Yep, you can find everything you need to know at danlynch.org. That's L-Y-N-C-H, spell Lynch. And you can find my Twitter links and Identica and all those kind of things on there. And find links to Linux Outlaws and all the other various things that I do.
You have a little podcast called Linux Outlaws, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We've actually been on holiday for a couple of weeks. Well, I haven't been on holiday. My co-host's been on holiday for a couple of weeks. So, we're due back on air next week. So, Monday nights, well, Monday afternoons for you people listening in America, but for everyone over here in Europe, it's Monday nights. And you can go to linuxoutlaws.com to find out more about that.
So when the studious German takes his time off, then you don't get to have a show, huh?
No, exactly. I thought about going solo, but, you know, it's kind of tricky. So.
You'd have to do all that hard work yourself. I know the hard work you'd have to have, yes.
Although someone did ask me this week if I was doing Floss, just hedging my bets in case he doesn't come back. So someone asked me if this was the contingency plan, so I don't really know what to say to that.
Well, Dan, you're always welcome to be on my show. I really appreciate you coming by again, as always, providing the sort of bit of Linux outlook that I really don't have, like on packaging and things like that, because that's an area that I just don't know anything about because I'm not a Linux user. And again, the 400 people in the audience that hate me for that are going to email me tomorrow, I can already tell. It's just normal there. Yeah. One last thing, though. I also wanted to say that I do Insight Cruises, insightcruises.com. I go on these technical conferences on cruise ships, and Leo Laporte's been on them before as well, and a bunch of the other Twit people. So there is an unusual cruise coming up. For those of you that are fans of Jonathan Colton, Jonathan has actually set up a cruise. You can find out about it at jococruisecrazy.com, or just Google for Jonathan Colton Cruise. So coming up in January, I get to be on a cruise ship, as I often am, but with Jonathan Colton, with my friend Will Wheaton, with Paulin Storm, Jonathan Hodgman's going to be there. A bunch of other people are going to be on that. So check that out, and you'll get to see me on a cruise ship hanging out with some of my entertainment friends as opposed to some of my technical geeky friends. So feel free to look that up. I think I've just about wrapped up everything I have to do. Anything last words, Dan?
No, pleasure to be here as always. We'll see you again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, well, as I always finish this off with, we'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.